News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. The protracted hearing in the politically sensitive Ram Janmabhoomi Babri Masjid land dispute at Ayodhya enters its crucial final leg today, when the Supreme Court resumes proceedings on the 38th day after a week-long Dashera break. Keeping in mind the safety and security of people, upcoming festivals and the court verdict, the administration has imposed Section 144 of the CRPC, prohibiting assembly of four or more persons across Ayodhya district till December 10. A five-judge constitution bench headed by Chief Justice of India Ranjan Gogoi, which started the day-to-day proceedings on August 6 after mediation proceedings failed to find an amicable solution to the dispute, has revised the deadline for wrapping up the proceedings and has fixed it for October 17. 14 appeals have been filed in the court against the 2010 Allahabad High Court judgment delivered in four civil suits that the 2.77-acre land in Ayodhya be partitioned equally among the three parties, the Sunni Waqf Board, the Nirmohi Akhada and Ram Lala Virajman. The judgment in the matter is to be pronounced by November 17, the day the Chief Justice of India will demit the office. The court had taken note of the report of the three-member mediation panel comprising Justice F.M.I. Kalifullah, spiritual guru and founder of the Art of Living Foundation, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, and senior advocate and renowned mediator, Sri Ram Panchu, that mediation proceedings, which went on for about 4 months, did not result in any final settlement and it had to decide the matter pending before it. And Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Sunday said it would take 4 months for Jammu and Kashmir to return to normal after his government stripped the state of its special status in August and imposed harsh restrictions. Postpaid mobile telephony services will be restored in Kashmir this afternoon. At a rally in poll-bound Maharashtra, Modi said that his government had taken necessary steps to maintain security in Jammu and Kashmir. Alongside the withdrawal of constitutional provisions that gave Jammu and Kashmir more autonomy than any other Indian state, the Modi government flooded the region with additional troops and imposed communication restrictions to keep a lid on protests and violence. Although many curbs, including those on movement, had been eased, mobile telephone and internet connections in the Kashmir Valley, home to around 7 million people, had remained cut off. I assure you that it won't take more than 4 months to normalize the abnormal situation that has persisted there for 40 years, Modi said at the rally, speaking in Hindi. Jammu and Kashmir and Ladakh aren't just a piece of land for us, he said. New Delhi insists that its move in August was essential to integrate Kashmir fully into India and bring development to the Himalayan region. Last week, the Jammu and Kashmir administration published full-page advertisements in local newspapers asking people to resume normal life, including reopening businesses and sending children to schools. Closed shops, no public transport, the advertisement said. Who benefits? And the World Bank on Sunday slashed its growth forecast for India's current fiscal year to 6%, down from 7.5%, warning that the severe slowdown could further weaken the country's stuttering financial sector. In its last forecast in April, the bank had said that India's economic outlook was strong and expected growth of 7.5% during the current fiscal year that began in April. But Asia's third largest economy is currently growing at its slowest pace in 6 years, expanding by just 5% in the April-June quarter, hit by flagging consumer demand and a slackening in government spending. India's industrial output also shrank at its fastest rate in more than 6 years in August, data released last week showed, indicating that a slew of government measures had yet to underpin a recovery. In an effort to kickstart the economy, the RBI has cut interest rates 5 times this year and underlined the challenge for policymakers by downgrading its growth forecast to 6.1% from 6.9% earlier this month. Last week, ratings agency Moody's Investor Service lowered its growth forecast for India to 5.8% for the current fiscal year from 6.2%, adding that a long period of weak growth will hamper the government's fiscal consolidation plans. The World Bank's latest forecast also underlined similar concerns linked to slowing growth and the government's decision to cut the corporate tax rate, which will cost about 1.5 trillion rupees in tax revenues. And in related news, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman will hold a review meeting with CEOs of public sector banks today to discuss various issues, including progress on credit offtake as part of efforts to prop up the economy. The meeting is expected to review fund flow to stressed NBFC and MSME sectors, sources said. Banks are expected to present a report card on the partial credit guarantee scheme and fundraising from markets to enhance their capital base. The centre in August issued guidelines on operationalising a Rs 1 lakh crore partial guarantee scheme, under which PSBs can purchase high-rated pooled assets of financially sound non-banking finance companies. NBFCs, including housing finance companies, came under stress following a series of defaults by the group companies of infrastructure, leasing and financial services in September last year. Besides, the meeting will also assess the progress of the first phase of an outreach program held across 226 districts across the country. This will be the second meeting of Sitharaman with CEOs of PSU banks in less than a month. And in a dramatic turn of events, former captain Sourav Ganguly emerged as the consensus candidate to be Indian Cricket Board BCCI's new president after former batsman Brijesh Patel appeared to have grabbed the coveted post. Union Home Minister Amit Shah's son Jay Shah will be the new secretary, while Arun Dhumal will be the new treasurer. Dhumal is the younger brother of Minister of State for Finance and former BCCI President Anurag Thakur. Today was the last day to file nominations, but no election will be held since all candidates have emerged unopposed after weeks of lobbying and hectic parleys. The 47-year-old Ganguly, who is currently the President of the Cricket Association of Bengal, will have to demit his post in September 2020 as he will go into a compulsory cooling-off period. The choice for the BCCI president's post was always between Ganguly and Patel, and the former was finally accepted as a unanimous candidate. When the new office bearers assume office, it will end a 33-month term of the Committee of Administrators, which called the shots in running the cricket affairs in the country after the Lodha Committee reforms. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.